This is Oklahoma's Talk Radio, the new Freedom 96.9. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377. Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck.
Well, good Friday morning, TGIF. We finally made it. It's Friday morning, June 12th in the year of our Lord, 2026. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. If you want to be part of the show this morning, real easy to do. It's a cinch. 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377. We got a bunch we've got to talk about today. More police are seeing an increase in drunk driving arrests. Get this, 30 arrests in 30 days. We'll talk live with more police on this First Responder Friday. Residents in Luther speaking out after town leaders abruptly cancel a meeting on a controversial data center plan. Six horses are rescued after a major cocaine bust. We'll have the strange details on that one. A homeless shelter in Norman is closed down temporarily. Why they're locking the doors coming up. The Oklahoma Department of Agriculture is targeting screwworms. What do you need to know about these nasty little parasites? And early voting starts in Oklahoma for the primaries. One of the issues, a plan to increase the minimum wage. A local expert will be weighing in later on this hour. But first, your Freedom First News headlines on Freedom 96.9. Early voting is now underway ahead of Oklahoma's June 16th primary election. Registered voters can cast ballots today from 8 a.m. till 6 p.m. and then tomorrow from 8 a.m. until 2 p.m. at their county election boards. The primary ballot includes federal, state, and local races, along with State Question 832, which would gradually raise Oklahoma's minimum wage. Election officials are encouraging voters to check their polling information and to bring a valid identification before casting a ballot. A proposed data center near Luther is drawing strong opposition from nearby landowners and residents. Community members say the project could dramatically change the area's rural character, bringing concerns about noise, traffic, lighting, and increased demands on infrastructure. The proposed facility would sit on hundreds of acres and could include buildings up to 85 feet tall. Supporters point to potential economic development, but critics argue the project would have very few long-term jobs while impacting property values and quality of life. Town leaders are expected to consider zoning and permit requests in the upcoming weeks. A homeless shelter in Norman is temporarily closed down after a surprise inspection by the Oklahoma State Fire Marshal's Office uncovered serious fire code violations. Officials say the facility posed immediate safety risks and ordered it shut down immediately, displacing more than 50 people who had been staying there. The violations included problems with emergency exits, fire extinguishers, and electrical systems. City leaders and community groups quickly relocated residents to temporary housing at a local church. Crews are now working to correct the deficiencies, and officials hope the shelter can reopen pretty soon while longer-term safety upgrades are planned. A Payne County Citizens Group is pushing for a grand jury investigation into former District Attorney Laura Thomas. Organizers have begun collecting signatures on a petition that would allow the grand jury to examine allegations surrounding the handling of a high-profile sexual assault case that involved a former Oklahoma State University student. Supporters say the effort is about accountability and transparency in the justice system. Thomas has previously denied any wrongdoing and says that her office handled the case appropriately. Petition organizers must gather enough valid signatures from county residents before that request can move forward. Tulsa police are investigating after a convenience store clerk shot a man who was allegedly threatening people with a machete. Officers say 61-year-old Donald Lockridge entered the food mart on Thursday morning yelling and swinging the weapon. Investigators say he got behind the counter and threatened the clerk, who escaped outside and retrieved a handgun from his vehicle. Police say Lockridge again advanced on the clerk inside the store while armed with a machete, prompting that clerk to open fire. Good for him. Lockridge suffered non-life-threatening injuries. He's expected to face a complaint of assault with a deadly weapon. Authorities in Garvin County are investigating after a Lindsay man drowned while swimming in Rush Creek. Deputies say emergency crews were called after reports of a swimmer in distress. Witnesses told investigators the man went under the water and never resurfaced. First responders recovered his body a little while later. Officials have not yet released his name pending the notification of family members. The incident remains under investigation. Authorities say no foul play is suspected. The tragedy serves as another reminder for Oklahomans to be cautious when swimming in creeks, rivers, and other natural waterways during the summer months. Six horses rescued during one of Oklahoma's largest recent cocaine busts have found a new home. The Oklahoma Bureau of Narcotics says the animals were discovered inside a horse trailer carrying nearly 160 kilos of cocaine during a trafficking investigation. After being seized by the state, the horses were awarded to Blaze Tribute Equine Rescue in Hera, where they're now receiving care and rehabilitation. Authorities say the case highlights the unusual ways the criminal organizations transport illegal drugs while also giving the animals a second chance. The drug trafficking investigation remains ongoing. The Oklahoma Department of Agriculture is tightening restrictions on livestock imports as concerns grow over the spread of New World screwworm. State officials announced the updated animal movement requirements for cattle, horses, bison, and other livestock entering Oklahoma from affected states. The flesh-eating parasite has been detected in parts of Mexico and most recently South Texas, prompting increased monitoring across the region. Agriculture officials say the restrictions are designed to protect Oklahoma's livestock industry and to prevent the pest from becoming established in the state. Producers are encouraged to review the latest requirements before transporting animals. Oklahoma City Public Schools is expanding career and technical education opportunities with new occupational training pathways for students. District leaders say the program will give students hands-on experience in high-demand fields while at the same time helping them earn industry certifications before graduation. The expanded offerings are designed to better prepare students for the workforce or additional training after high school. School officials say the initiative reflects growing demand for employers for skilled workers and provides students with more options to build careers without necessarily pursuing four-year college degrees. The University of Oklahoma is launching a new program aimed at helping address the nationwide shortage of air traffic controllers. The initiative creates a direct pathway for students to enter the profession through specialized training and education designed to prepare them for careers with the Federal Aviation Administration. Industry leaders say the shortage has strained airports and air traffic systems across the country, increasing the need for qualified controllers. University officials hope the program will help to meet workforce demands while creating new career opportunities for Oklahoma students interested in aviation. The Oklahoma National Guard Museum officially opened up its doors with a ribbon-cutting ceremony at its brand-new location in Oklahoma City. State military leaders, along with veterans and community members, gathered to celebrate the museum's expansion, which features new exhibits highlighting the history of service of Oklahoma's citizen soldiers and airmen. The larger facility showcases artifacts, military vehicles, and stories spanning generations of National Guard service. Museum officials say the new space will help to preserve Oklahoma's military heritage while educating future generations about the Guard's role at home and abroad. Well, more police are cracking down on drunk drivers, arresting, get this, 30 drunk drivers in 30 days. Coming up right after the break, we'll talk with more police about the problem on your First Responder Friday. And coming up later on in the hour, we'll take a deep dive into State Question 832. And, of course, your dad joke of the day. I want to hear yours. 405-608-4377 is the number to dial. 405-608-4377. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9.
From the Strait of Hormuz to the Oklahoma City oil field, we're the local talk station you can depend on. The new Freedom 96.9. Freedom969.com and on the Freedom app.
I'm Chuck Hall. I grew up believing you take care of your community. You work hard, you treat people right, and when you can help, you do. That's how Amy and I raised our family, and it's why I've spent my life serving this community and fighting for our values, faith, family, and freedom. Because to me, public service isn't about politics. It's about people.
Chuck Hall, conservative Republican for State Senate.
Authorized and paid for by Chuck Hall for State Senate 2026.
Running for Oklahoma governor ain't supposed to be easy. You gotta be tough. So Mike Mazie's whining and crying as we learn about his liberal record? Tough luck, Mikey. See, while President Trump crushed the woke left, Mike Mazie allowed transgender surgeries in Oklahoma. That's right. Mazie voted to allow a taxpayer-funded hospital to hide children undergoing radical gender reassignment treatments, sex changes that transitioned boys into girls and girls into boys. But that's not all. Trump's MAGA movement would have been crushed by Hillary Clinton if Mike Mazie got his way. Mazie voted to remove Oklahoma from the Electoral College, going to a national popular vote that would have rigged the system for crooked Hillary Clinton.
Thanks, Mike Mazie, for trying so close.
A transgender ally endangering our kids. A Clinton lover and Trump hater. MAGA phony Mike Mazie. Woke, radical, and just too liberal for Oklahoma. Paid for by Make Oklahoma Great Again. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. 601 South Boulder Avenue, Suite 610. Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74119. 918-947-9459.
Grant Green is fighting for rural Oklahoma, protecting our land, our water, and our way of life. Grant made massive data centers pay their own infrastructure costs, not Oklahoma families. He made big developers answer to rural Oklahoma before projects can be approved. Water rights and conservative tax relief. Because Grant Green doesn't just vote conservative, he leads.
I will always defend our conservative values.
Grant Green for State Senate. Proven conservative, proven results. Authorized and paid for by Friends of Grant Green 2026.
There's a lot of noise out there, especially when it comes to Medicare. Plans, options, fine print, it's enough to make anyone second guess. That's where Health 65 comes in. We simplify Medicare, explain your options clearly, and we help choose a plan that makes sense for your life, not someone else's. No guesswork, no confusion, just real answers from real people right here in Edmond. Hi, this is Philip Beard with Health 65. Call us or visit us online at health65.com. That's health65.com.
Health 65 is not connected to the federal Medicare program.
From wars in the Middle East to conflicts at home, we're the only station you need to stay informed. We're the new Freedom 96.9. Freedom96.9.com and on the Freedom app. Freedom's First News with Aaron Brilbeck. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377.
And welcome back. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brilbeck on Freedom 96.9. Today we're going to see clouds, a chance of thunderstorms. It's going to be a humid day, too. High of 85 degrees. Tonight, cloudy, humid, low of 73. On Saturday, we'll see increasing clouds rolling in. High of 94 degrees. Then on Sunday, mostly cloudy with some showers possible. High of 77. Sounds like the weekend might be a bit of a wash. Good day to kind of sit inside and read a book or something. 70 degrees outside right now under cloudy skies at 718. More police have really been cracking down on drunk police lately, arresting 30 drunks in 30 days. Clint Bliley is with Moore Police Department and joins us live on this First Responder Friday. Good morning, brother. How are you?
Good morning, Aaron. Hope everything's going well in the studio.
I've got exactly zero complaints, man. You guys have seen an unusually high number of drunk drivers or intoxicated drivers over the past month. Kind of walk me through that.
Yeah, so just last month alone, we had 30 DUI stops. All of them ended in arrest. That's one DUI every single day in the month, basically. So, I mean, what we're seeing is a really high trend where we're going to have a lot more DUI arrests if the rate of this pace keeps going. Last year, we had 230. This year, we're already at 110 plus. And we had another one last night that we had to take to jail. So, you know, the biggest thing we just want to really push and encourage is, you know, use that ride share, guys. It's really not that hard. It doesn't take very long.
And you guys have a zero-tolerance policy on drunk driving. So if you pull me over driving drunk, I'm not talking my way out of this.
No, I mean, it's a problem everywhere. And law enforcement agencies, not only in Oklahoma, but all across the nation, are really cracking down on DUI offenses. Just in the state of Oklahoma, just last year, we passed new legislature, which states that, you know, DUI offenses are going to be more impactful on your record, so to speak. So, you know, it's not a great choice. Let's just be honest. Like, if you're going to drink and drive, you're putting yourself at harm, and you're putting others at harm as well.
And it's unfortunate because we just saw a case a couple weeks ago where we had three young people driving on I-40. Understanding, they were heading downtown. It was a little bit after midnight. They're heading downtown. They wanted to go ride scooters because they're bored. Four young people. Two of them just graduated from high school, two boys, two girls, just some kids going out to have some fun. When a drunk driver driving the wrong way on I-40 slams into them and kills all four of them. And you would think that after that, after hearing this tragedy and after seeing their faces on the news and hearing their stories and learning about this and seeing how close to home this hits, people would think twice about driving drunk, but clearly it's had no impact.
You know, the best the best thing as law enforcement we can do is, you know, just put the messaging out there and do the education part, because we can't stop you from drinking and driving. Most of the time we have to be so reactive to the situation. How law enforcement agencies like Moore and others in the metro, you be proactive by doing DUI checkpoints. You go out and you patrol. You stop cars, you know, for going over the lines this way or that way, or maybe they're speeding. You know, you don't have to write them a ticket if they're not drinking, but if those signs are there, we're going to pull you out of a car, and we're going to be like, hey, you're showing these levels of intoxicants in your body possibly. Let's do some tests, make sure you're good to go, because we don't want something bad to happen further on down the road.
Yeah, and you'd mentioned there are other alternatives to it. It's not like you can't find another way home. People who go out, especially tonight's Friday, for example, people who are going out tonight, you can take a few minutes to arrange a ride from a friend, a designated driver. There are a lot of bars in the area that if you're a designated driver, they'll give you free soda pops for free juice or free water or whatever. There are rideshare programs that are out there that are very accessible. You can always get a taxi cab. Worst comes to worst, you can walk. But there's really no excuse for driving intoxicated these days.
No, there's not. And there's been a couple situations that we've been across just in Moore. And DUI APC, which is actual physical control of your vehicle, is also a really big problem that we see in Moore a lot. Where you're like, you might have a little bit of self-awareness, like, oh, I've drank too much. I'm going to stop and pull over here, leave my car running. That's a DUI.
Yeah.
You are in actual physical control of your vehicle. It is on. We had two situations that we posted on our social media, and one of them, the driver was severely intoxicated. He pulled over. They called a welfare check. We showed up. We show up, knock on the window. He just hits the gas and tries to take off. Officers had to bust the window, get in, pull him out. We had another situation with a teen who fell asleep on the highway, in the middle of the highway. He had no clue. And so, like, we talk about this all the time. Like, you can't just stop and pull over sometimes. Like, you know, plan ahead, make those arrangements well before you go out, because it'll save your life, it'll save other people's lives, and you don't have to pay tens and thousands of dollars in fines with lawyers and jail and all that stuff.
One of the things that I've seen personally working with the Oklahoma County Sheriff's Office, and I'm sure that you guys deal with too, is people who have medical marijuana cards, and they think that because they've got those cards, they can drive high and it's basically a get-out-of-jail-free card. Not the case.
Yeah, it's not the case anymore. They changed the laws again on that here recently as well. So, you know, if you're in there, it's just like we tell, you know, to dumb it down, we tell people to treat your marijuana now like alcohol. You know, put it in a container, needs to be sealed. If you go and buy it, it's out of reach where you can't touch it. Similar to the alcohol laws now.
Yep.
That legislation will probably change, as this stuff always tends to change. But, you know, just be mindful that DUID is still an issue. People take prescriptions that say do not take while driving. You know, just be mindful of these things, how they impact your body.
Yeah, and you can't drive high. Just because I've got a medical marijuana card doesn't give me carte blanche to drive high. It's the same as, again, if I've got a prescription for morphine, the morphine is legal for me to take, but that doesn't mean that I can take it while I'm driving. It's just common sense. You talked a bit about these changes in the law. November 1st, several law changes went into effect. Expanded aggravated DUI category. So DUI can be elevated to an aggravated offense if a traffic accident is involved. If you're driving with a child in your vehicle, God forbid you're drunk driving with your kid. If there's reckless driving, if you're speeding 20 miles per hour or more over the speed limit, if you're attempting to elude police, even if you're attempting to elude for a few minutes, or other serious traffic violations while you're impaired, this is a good idea. It's time that we start really cracking down on these people, because there is no excuse for this.
Yeah, and, you know, at the end of the day, you know, like, we're going to do our job to protect everybody that we can. You know, we're going to go out, we're going to patrol. If you're drinking and driving and you're going through Moore or the county or you know, these officers, they'll find you pretty quick. And if they don't, other people will call you in, because they're not afraid to call in a reckless driver.
And I think in the past, people just kind of write it off as, okay, if I get a DUI, it's going to cost me a few bucks, but I'm not really going to serve any jail time. That's changed. Now these aggravated DUI convictions carry a mandatory minimum jail sentence, and first-time aggravated DUIs mean at least 10 days in jail, along with mandatory terms for repeat offenders. So there's no more get-out-of-jail-free card. If you get arrested, if you're caught driving drunk, if you're caught driving high, you are going to jail. You're likely going to lose your job. It's going to cost you thousands and thousands of dollars trying to fight these charges. You're going to be a public pariah because you can guarantee we're going to be talking about you on the radio. Is it really worth the effort as opposed to just getting on your phone, tapping the app, and getting a driver to come pick you up?
Nah, it's not worth it at all. And at the end of the day, you know, these are all tools in which we can, you know, use maybe to educate somebody. Yeah, you're learning the hard way. But I do have a great situation where we had a woman, she had a DUI about 13 years ago. She reached out to us on social media, actually, wanting to speak to the officer who wrote her a DUI. And I was like, oh, gosh, how's this going to go?
This is going to get ugly, yeah.
Yeah, but it turns out that DUI, she's been sober ever since, that DUI. And she wanted to tell the officer, thank you for, you know, going hard on her because she's changed her life around. And they had a great conversation, I'm told. So, like, the end result isn't always pretty in the beginning, but once you get towards the end, you know, you can change your life around. So, you know, at the end of the day, all these checkpoints, all these DUI and crackdowns, it's all just a deterrence to kind of prevent crashes, fatalities, and protect innocent people on the road.
Yeah, and I'm glad to hear that she reached out to him. As we know, people with addiction, sometimes the only way that they beat that addiction is by reaching that rock bottom, and it sounds like that was her rock bottom.
Yeah, so, I mean, great story there, at least. You know, hopefully, you know, we have more of those to talk about. So
absolutely. So you say you picked one up again last night?
Yeah, we picked one up again last night. I don't know all the details on it, honestly, because I'm just now logging in and stuff.
But gotcha.
You know, like, it's just, not, you know, almost nonstop. Like I said, we had 38 last month alone. That's basically one every day. And so far this year, we're looking at 2 DUI arrests every 3 days. So, you know, like, the stuff is adding up really quickly. We're on pace to do, like, 250 DUI interventions this year. Like, it is not something we want to see. And so, you know, anytime we can encourage people, you know, use the ride shares, just drink at home, you know, have at least, you know, maybe no more than one, you know, at least, you know, pull it back a little bit.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, you know, we just want to make sure that the community knows that, you know, your law enforcement agencies are doing the best that they can and is being proactive to try to get these guys off the road.
Clint Bliley with the Moore Police Department joining us on this First Responder Friday. Clint, thanks a lot for joining us, brother. I appreciate it, man. And thanks for all you guys are doing out there. Well, coming up, a controversial data center proposal sparks new questions in Luther after town leaders abruptly cancel a key meeting. Why residents are demanding answers. 6 horses get a second chance after being rescued during a massive cocaine trafficking bust. The surprise details coming up. A homeless shelter in Norman forced to shut its doors. Why inspectors say residents have to go somewhere else for now. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9.
USA Radio News. I'm John Summers. President Trump canceled new strikes on Iran Thursday. The president said in a Truth Social post his decision was based on the fact discussions with Iran have been brought to the highest level of Iranian leadership and approved. An early poll suggests Democrat Javier Becerra is a heavy favorite over Republican Steve Hilton in the November runoff for California governor. President Trump has made many changes to immigration over his 2 terms, from ending catch and release at the border to limiting asylum claims. Congressman Chip Roy of Texas filed legislation to make it permanent.
Without permanent reform, this is just a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul fired back at federal officials after Border Czar Tom Homan said New York City would be seeing a substantial increase in ICE agents. From America's News Network, USA Radio News.
This is Noble McIntyre with the McIntyre Minute. Let me tell you something most people don't know. When you've been in a car wreck, the insurance company isn't calling to check on you. They're calling because time is their friend, not yours. The insurance company wants a recorded statement before your adrenaline wears off and before your injuries fully show themselves. Why? Because anything you say in the first few hours can be used to undervalue your claim or outright deny it later. Here's the takeaway. You're not required to give a recorded statement to the other driver's insurance company. You should never guess about your pain. You shouldn't guess about your injuries or even how the accident happened. Let the medical professionals evaluate you and let an attorney protect you. So the next time an adjuster calls immediately after a crash, remember, they're not being helpful. They're being strategic. If you need me, you can find me at McIntyreLaw.com or call me at 777-7000. Catch our show, Legal Talk with Noble McIntyre and Jeremy Thurman, Saturdays at 1 p.m. on Freedom 96.9. And that's your McIntyre Minute.
Freedom local coverage starts now.
From the Freedom 96.9 News Center, I'm Bo B. Kraft. News is brought to you by Health 65. You've worked hard, and Medicare doesn't have to be. Health 65 is making Medicare easy again. Health65.com. A man in his 70s has died after an apartment fire in northwest Oklahoma City. Firefighters found flames coming from an upstairs unit, and crews pulled the man from the apartment with life-threatening injuries. He was later pronounced dead at the hospital. Officials say the fire may have started near a window air conditioning unit. No other injuries have been reported, and the cause remains under investigation. State inspectors temporarily shut down an emergency homeless shelter in Norman after finding major fire safety violations. More than 50 people had to be relocated after problems were found with exits, electrical systems, and fire equipment. Work is underway to fix the issues, and the shelter could reopen soon. The closure has renewed concerns about safe housing for the homeless population, as a permanent shelter is still more than a year away. Early voting continues in Oklahoma ahead of the June 16th primary election. Officials say voter registration is up compared to the last similar election. Officials are reminding voters to bring valid ID and confirm their polling location. Election day polls will run from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. That's the latest from the Freedom 96.9 News Center on Oklahoma's Talk Radio. Your Oklahoma City Freedom Forecast is next.
It's a good day. I'm here with Stephen Smith, owner of ICS Concrete Coatings in Oklahoma City. Stephen, how does ICS help businesses with their flooring needs?
We provide industrial-grade polyurea coatings for warehouses, retail shops, and offices. They're chemical-resistant, withstand heavy traffic, and keep your space looking professional. We've done everything from auto shops to restaurants with stunning results.
That sounds ideal for high traffic areas. What about minimizing business downtime? That's pretty important.
Yeah, our coatings cure in hours, so we're done in a day. Your business stays operational with minimal interruption, and the floor lasts for years.
It sounds like a smart investment. Any advice for business owners listening right now?
Give us a call, get a free estimate, and we'll tailor a solution that fits your needs and budget.
Upgrade your business with ICS Concrete Coatings. Call 405-403-4012 or visit ICS Concrete Coatings. 405-403-4012 or go to icsconcretecoatings.com to schedule your free estimate today.
David Ostro, Republican for Lieutenant Governor.
I'm David Ostro. I flew combat missions for the U.S. Navy hunting Soviet submarines.
David Ostro, Christian servant, husband, father, and business owner. David Ostro knows how to create a growing economy.
I built my company from one employee to over 1,000.
David Ostro put the state of Oklahoma's checkbook online to fight fraud and put more money in the real economy. David Ostro knows to improve schools and put more money in the classroom, we must fight the fraud that steals money from students. David Ostro understands to create good-paying jobs for Oklahomans, we must stop payments to illegal aliens.
I've hunted America's enemies, and now I'm hunting fraud, waste, and abuse.
David Ostro for Lieutenant Governor. Same oath, new mission. Authorized and paid for by David Ostro for Lieutenant Governor 2026.
Your favorite new and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs are at Vance Auto Group in Guthrie, Miami, and Woodward as well. The Vance family takes pride in having one of the highest repeat customer percentages in the region. Perhaps that's because they refuse to use high-pressure sales techniques. Instead, they offer friendly, family-like sales and service with a plethora of new Fords, Lincolns, Buicks, GMC, Chrysler's, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Chevrolet's. So if you're shopping for a new Ford, Lincoln, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, or Chevrolet, Vance Auto Group has them all at the best prices. And every new and many pre-owned vehicles come with a free engine, transmission, and other powertrain components guarantee. Good for as long as you own the vehicle. Go to VanceAutoGroup.com to shop and save. You'll be glad you did.
With approved credit, see dealer for lifetime guarantee details.
John Vance Auto Group.
Oklahoma state government is broken. Scandals have rocked our state, and we're the ones paying the price. Cindy Byrd earned our trust as state auditor by reporting billions in waste, fraud, and abuse that others covered up. Now, Cindy Byrd is asking for your vote for state treasurer. She'll protect our tax dollars, expose corruption, and invest wisely on behalf of Oklahomans. Cindy Byrd, a fiscal hawk Oklahoma trusts. Cindy Byrd for treasurer.
Authorized and paid for by Cindy Byrd for Oklahoma Treasurer 2026.
Freedom.
Weather.
Here's your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast. Today, there will be a chance of a thunderstorm in some areas during the morning, with the rest of the day being mostly cloudy and humid. We can expect a high of 85 degrees. Tonight will be mainly cloudy and humid with scattered thunderstorms possible. The low will be around 73 degrees. Tomorrow, get ready for increasing wind and warmth, along with intervals of sunshine. Showers and thunderstorms are likely to develop later in the day, and the high will reach 94 degrees. Moving on to Sunday, anticipate mostly cloudy skies with a few showers and a strong thunderstorm possible in the afternoon. The high temperature will be 77 degrees. With your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast, I'm meteorologist Jason Caterina.
Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377.
And welcome back. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brolbeck on Freedom 96.9. Well, Freedom 96.9 is inviting you to the Freedom Forum with Eric Erickson on Thursday, June 18th at 405 Social. That's at 14041 North May Avenue in Oklahoma City from 3 p.m. until 7 p.m. It's a chance for you to get together and meet with national radio show host Eric Erickson. There's going to be free appetizers provided by 405 Social for guests of the Freedom Forum. Lee Matthews will be broadcasting live. Yours truly, Aaron Brolbeck, will be the MC. They gave me that job because MC is the only job that I could spell. This is a free event for Freedom 96.9 listeners and a chance to meet Eric Erickson in person on Thursday, June 18th from 3 p.m. till 7 p.m. at 405 Social, 14041 North May Avenue in Oklahoma City. It's 71 degrees outside under cloudy skies at 7:38. That means time for your dad joke of the day. Uncle Dave, you probably noticed I'm wearing pink today.
I did.
Yeah. It's to raise awareness for people like me who forget to separate red and laundry from white laundry.
You're supposed to separate those?
Yeah. So my pink shirt now matches my pink eyes.
That explains all the pink towels I have.
That's it. That's it. Hey, let's check out your Freedom First News headlines this morning. Early voting now underway ahead of Oklahoma's June 16th primary election. Voters can cast ballots today from 8 a.m. until 6 p.m. and then on Saturday from 8 a.m. till 2 p.m. at county election board offices statewide. The ballot includes federal, state, and local races, as well as state question 832, which would gradually increase Oklahoma's minimum wage. Election officials are urging voters to verify their polling information and to bring a valid form of identification before heading to the polls. We're going to be taking a deep dive into state question 832 later on this hour. Well, residents and landowners near Luther continue to voice their concerns over a proposed data center development. Opponents say the project could significantly alter the community's rural character, raising concerns about traffic, noise, lighting, and a strain on local infrastructure. Plans for the facility covering hundreds of acres, with some structures reaching up to 85 feet tall. Supporters say the project could bring economic growth to the area, while critics question the number of long-term jobs that it would create and worry about impacts on property values and quality of life. A homeless shelter in Norman remains temporarily closed this morning after a surprise inspection by the Oklahoma State Fire Marshal's office found multiple fire code violations. Officials say the facility posed an immediate safety concern, forcing more than 50 residents to find temporary housing elsewhere. Inspectors cited issues involving emergency exits, fire extinguishers, and electrical systems. Community organizers and city leaders quickly helped to relocate residents to a nearby church. Shelter operators are now working to address the problems and hope to reopen once the necessary repairs and safety improvements are completed. A citizens group in Payne County is seeking a grand jury investigation into former District Attorney Laura Thomas. Organizers are collecting signatures on a petition that would allow the grand jury to review allegations connected to the handling of a high-profile sexual assault case involving a former Oklahoma State University student. Supporters say the effort is focused on accountability and transparency. Thomas has repeatedly denied any wrongdoing and maintains that her office handled the case properly. The petition must gather enough valid signatures before the request can move forward. Tulsa police are investigating after a convenience store clerk shot a man accused of threatening people with a machete. Investigators say 61-year-old Donald Lockridge entered the food mart on Thursday morning, shouting and swinging a machete. Police say that he moved behind the counter and threatened the clerk, who ran outside and retrieved a handgun from his vehicle. Officers say Lockridge later approached the clerk again while still armed, prompting the clerk to open fire. Lockridge suffered injuries that are not believed to be life-threatening and could face assault with a deadly weapon complaint. Authorities in Garvin County are investigating after a Lindsay man drowned while swimming in Rush Creek. Deputies say emergency crews responded to reports of a swimmer in distress after witnesses saw the man disappear beneath the water. According to investigators, he never resurfaced. Rescue crews later recovered the man's body. His identity has not yet been released pending family notification. Authorities say there are no signs of foul play. Officials, meanwhile, are warning residents to use caution when swimming in Oklahoma creeks, rivers, and natural waterways. Six horses rescued during one of Oklahoma's largest recent cocaine seizures are settling into a new home. The Oklahoma Bureau of Narcotics says the animals were found inside a horse trailer transporting nearly 160 kilograms of cocaine during trafficking investigation. After being seized by the state, the horses were given to Blaze Tribute Equine Rescue in Hera, where they're now receiving treatment and rehabilitation. Investigators say the case highlights the unusual methods that criminal organizations are sometimes willing to use to move illegal drugs. The broader trafficking investigation remains active. The Oklahoma Department of Agriculture is expanding restrictions on livestock entering the state amid concerns about the spread of the New World screwworm. New requirements apply to cattle, horses, bison, and other livestock arriving from affected areas. The flesh-eating parasite has been detected in parts of Mexico and more recently in South Texas, prompting increased monitoring efforts. Agriculture officials say that the updated restrictions are intended to safeguard Oklahoma's livestock industry and to keep the pest from becoming established here. Producers are encouraged to review the latest guidelines before transporting animals. Oklahoma City Public Schools expanding career and technical education opportunities through new occupational training pathways. District leaders say the programs will provide students with hands-on experience in high-demand industries while allowing them to earn valuable certifications before graduation. Officials say the new pathways are designed to better prepare students for careers, apprenticeships, or additional education after high school. The expansion comes as employers continue seeking skilled workers and reflects a growing focus on workforce development and career readiness across the district. The University of Oklahoma, meanwhile, launching a new program designed to help address the nationwide shortage of air traffic controllers. The initiative creates direct pathways for students interested in aviation careers through specialized training and coursework geared toward FAA employment. Industry leaders say the staffing shortages have placed added pressure on air traffic systems across the country, increasing demand for qualified controllers. University officials hope that the program will help to strengthen the workforce while providing Oklahoma students with a clear route to critical and growing profession. Oklahoma National Guard Museum has officially opened up its new location in Oklahoma City with a ribbon-cutting ceremony. Veterans, military leaders, and community members gathered to celebrate the expanded facility, which features exhibits highlighting the service and history of Oklahoma's citizen soldiers and airmen. The museum includes military vehicles, artifacts, and stories spanning generations of National Guard service. Museum leaders say that the larger space will help to preserve Oklahoma's military heritage while educating visitors about the Guard's contributions both at home and around the world. Well, as voters head to the polls for the primaries, one measure they'll be deciding is whether to increase the state's minimum wage. We're going to deep dive into State Question 832 coming up after the break. Dave Bond with the Oklahoma Council on Public Affairs joins us live to break it all down. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9.
When it comes to freedom, size matters. Your 100,000-watt voice of freedom. The new Freedom 96.9. Freedom96.9.com and on the Freedom app.
Conservative, Republican, endorsed by President Trump, Frank Lucas.
I hear over and over to fight and protect what matters most. So I stood with President Trump and championed the Save America Act to require proof of American citizenship, to prevent illegal immigrants from voting in our elections. And as a grandfather to three granddaughters, I oppose biological males from competing in women's sports. I'm Frank Lucas, and I approve this message because protecting elections and the integrity of women's sports in Oklahoma, well, we always protect what matters most.
Frank Lucas has worked with President Trump against the woke, radical, DEI-loving liberals who are trying to destroy our country. That's why President Trump has given Frank Lucas his
complete and total endorsement.
On Tuesday, June 16th, conservative, Republican, MAGA, Frank Lucas for Congress. Paid for by Lucas for Congress.
I'm Chuck Hall. I grew up believing you take care of your community. You work hard, you treat people right, and when you can help, you do. That's how Amy and I raised our family, and it's why I've spent my life serving this community and fighting for our values, faith, family, and freedom. Because to me, public service isn't about politics. It's about people.
Chuck Hall, conservative Republican for State Senate.
Authorized and paid for by Chuck Hall for State Senate 2026.
Robert Trimble says he would have voted against every single state budget. That means voting against funding for law enforcement, against funding for volunteer firefighters, against funding for school security, against funding for 911 services, against funding to shut down Mexican cartels and Chinese criminal grows. Robert Trimble calls that conservative. Rural Oklahoma calls it reckless.
Grant Green fights for our families, our safety, and our way of life. Grant Green for State Senate.
Authorized and paid for by Friends of Grant Green, 2026.
Hi, this is Jamie with Discount Garage Door, and we've got some amazing specials going on our stock doors. Right now, get an 8x7 garage door installed for just $10.99, a 16x7 for $16.99, or get the door and motor combo for just $23.99. These prices are out the door, installed, and every job comes with a 5-year warranty on all parts and labor. Give us a call at 525-DOOR or visit us at discountgaragedoor.com.
We're talking about news and opinions from D.C. to OKC. We're Oklahoma's talk radio, the new Freedom 96.9, freedom96.9.com, and on the Freedom app. Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck.
And a good morning. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. Today, we're going to see a chance of thunderstorms. It's going to be a humid one with a high of 85 degrees tonight. Cloudy, humid, low of 73. On Saturday, we'll see increasing clouds, high of 94 degrees. Then on Sunday, look for mostly cloudy skies, maybe a few showers possible in the afternoon, and a high of around 77 degrees. 71 degrees and cloudy outside at 7:49 this morning. So one of the biggest issues on the Oklahoma June 16th primary ballot is State Question 832. That's a proposal that would gradually raise the state's minimum wage. Supporters say the measure would help workers keep up with rising costs. Opponents argue that it could increase expenses for businesses. Dave Bond is with the Oklahoma Council of Public Affairs. He's joining us live to kind of break it all down. It's not really as simple, Dave, as just saying this is a bill to increase minimum wage. There's a lot more built into this bill.
There is. Aaron, thank you so much for having me. When folks go, it's going to be the only state question on the upcoming June ballot, so it's real easy to focus on that one. There's a lot of other candidates on the ballot, too, but this is the only state question. So it is going to raise the minimum wage, more than double it across the state of Oklahoma over the next 2.5 years. By January of 2029, it will be $15, but then it will continue going up year after year after year, and those increases won't be based off the cost of living in Oklahoma. They'll be based off the cost of living in other places outside the country. It'll be based on the CPIW, which is one of the federal government's inflation indexes, and really weighs heavily what's been the cost of living increase in New York City, in Chicago, right. Los Angeles, San Francisco, low-cost places, of course.
Right. Very, very cheap to live there.
Right. And so that is what will be used to determine what the increase is going to be year after year after year. No cap, no ceiling. It will eventually hit $20 and $25 and so on. And it will apply to pretty much any small business in the state. There's an exemption for businesses with less than 10 employees unless you gross you have gross revenues of $100,000 or more. That's pretty much any business in the state. Most snow cone stands are going to fall outside of that exemption.
Sure.
So it's going to dramatically cover small businesses. So if small businesses think they're not going to have to deal with this, unfortunately, they're mistaken. It also applies to part-time employees as well. The rules we have in state law now for part-time employees get thrown out by 832. The rules we have in place right now for teenage employees and student employees, those get thrown out as well. And also for our farm and ranch workers, we have a lot of longstanding protections for family farms here in Oklahoma. Those are eliminated by State Question 832. There is a ton of stuff there.
Really?
Yeah, there's a ton of stuff in there. If it was just a simple, well, we're going to raise it to $15 and then we're going to stop, I think a lot more people would have a lot less heartburn about that. But there is a ton of stuff in this state question.
Yeah, part of what concerns me, and that's what you touched on first, was it really relinquishes control from the state to the federal government. So right now we've got a Republican president. We've got a Republican Congress. That's going to change. That's not going to last forever. And there will come a point where we might have a, God forbid, President Kamala Harris, who decides that she wants to raise the minimum wage, the federal minimum wage, up to $80 an hour. That's going to directly impact Oklahoma.
Yeah, this will be a big sticker shock for a ton of small businesses. Also on the price side, when you look at the states that have something this aggressive, a lot of states have a minimum wage north of $10. That's
sure.
Not more than half the states do. But few states have something as aggressive as State Question 832. It's really just the West Coast states, California, Oregon, and Washington. So you're talking about Kamala Harris is very applicable. She being from California has a lot of that mindset. But it's extremely aggressive. And when you look at those states, it's not just the entry-level job loss. And they've seen a ton of that. They've a lot of those folks over there on the low end of the pay scale, because if we're talking about raising the minimum wage, that's who we would want to be trying to help, is folks
sure.
at the low end of the pay scale. In Seattle, for instance, I'm glad we took their basketball team. I don't think we should take everything from them, because
definitely not advice from them.
Right. So after they put this in, take home pay in Seattle for folks at the low end of the pay scale actually went down, because in order to deal with this, small business owners said, well, you're a good employee, I want to keep you. But the only way I can do that without shutting down the business is to slash your hours. And so your take-home pay is actually going to go down. And then the entry-level job loss as well, especially with the big national and international companies who are on the West Coast. It's why it's so hard to find mom-and-pop shops, because a lot of them have to shut down. But then also they're automating at a much faster pace as many jobs as they can. We have the kiosks in our McDonald's here in Oklahoma, but you don't have to use them if you don't want to. If you're in California, it's a different experience. If you want to order something, you've got to use a kiosk. And that's just one example of the pace at which they are automating jobs out on the West Coast, where they have these kinds of aggressive minimum wage laws in place.
And you can't blame them. They're in business to make a profit. And if I've got to pay somebody $25 to, again, the cliche flip burgers,
yep.
if I got to pay somebody $25 to do a job that shouldn't require $25 an hour, I've got to look out for my investors. I've got to look out for my bottom line. I've got to look out for my personal paycheck.
Yes.
I'm going to start automating. And with advancements that we're seeing in AI, we're going to be seeing more and more opportunities for that. Why give them a reason to?
Right. I mean, it's an attack on the way of life we have here in Oklahoma. It's not as – I wish it was hyperbole. I wish it was an exaggeration to say this, but it's not. State Question 832 will treat every small business in Oklahoma – like it's a McDonald's in California. That is what it will do. It will apply equally in rural parts of the state, same as it does in the metro areas. There are some states where they have different levels for if you're outside the metros as opposed to in the rural part of the state. In State Question 832, a business in Okarchee will be treated exactly the same as a business in Oklahoma City in this regard. And that type of disparity or lack of nuance and allowance for different parts of the state, different industries, they'll all be treated the same as well. Pretty much any private sector industry will be treated the same regardless of where they are in the state. On the government employee side, state and federal employees will be exempt, but city and county government employees will not. And so there's actually something in the ballot language that makes this very clear there will be communities in Oklahoma that have to raise taxes to deal with this. And what taxes are they going to raise at the city and county level? It's going to be sales taxes, and it's going to be property taxes. And that is coming at a higher level. We're already dealing with that enough on the property tax side. It will get worse because of State Question 832.
Dave Bond is with the Oklahoma Council of Public Affairs. He's joining us talking a bit about State Question 832, which is the measure that's on the ballot to over time increase the state's minimum wage, but it also gives a great deal of power. It takes power away from Oklahomans and gives it to the federal government. Right now, there's a very small handful of people in Oklahoma, relatively speaking, that make that minimum wage, that $7.25 minimum wage. You're not overly concerned about them. Your concern is more so the ripple effect that this will have.
So the experience in the other states that have done this, I wish that those states had seen those folks at the low end of the pay scale do better economically as a result of this. The opposite has been true. Both of my sons are teenagers right now.
Mm-hmm.
I want this to remain a state where entry-level work is plentiful for them and their peers and for those who come after them. But it's not just young people, right? It's also a lot of seniors more and more, often to supplement Social Security or mm-hmm. just to stay active, are getting part-time jobs in their retirement years. They're not usually high-paying jobs, but they allow them to stay active. They also supplement Social Security, which is getting more important to do. We're also talking about moms, maybe, who have been blessed to be able to stay at home during their kids' school years, but now the kids are finishing high school. They're re-entering the workforce. That's often at an entry-level job level. Those are not typically the places where those people stay. An entry-level job, a starter job, is meant to be the first rung on the economic ladder for that person, wherever they are in life. We're also talking about second chance Oklahomans. There's a growing, this is a wonderful thing, I think, but there's a growing number of business owners around our state who are focusing on hiring second chance folks to help them get back into a productive trajectory in life.
Sure.
That becomes more cost prohibitive with State Question 832. These are stepping stone starter jobs, but they are essential to a state's healthy economy. And those are the kinds of jobs that get eliminated by something like State Question 832.
And you kind of hit on something. The minimum wage, we keep on hearing from people who are backing State Question 832 that we want to give a living wage to people. And the minimum wage was never meant to be a living wage. You were never meant to be able to make a bunch of money off of it. You know, you got your occasional Al Bundys who have a nice home out in the suburbs with a wife who doesn't work and two kids and supporting them doing a minimum wage shoe salesman job. But that's not the reality of what the minimum wage was meant for.
Yeah, I think most, regardless of what it may have been in the 1930s, we're at a different point in the history of our country today. And we need entry-level starter jobs for a successful economy. I remember my first jobs were entry-level starter jobs. I worked at Albertson's Deli down on I-240 in mm-hmm. May. I loaded boxes in the Hobby Lobby warehouse down by the airport. Those are entry-level starter jobs, but I didn't stay in those jobs. Those were jobs to get me going in a lifetime of work. But those are the jobs that are being replaced by automation and AI at a much faster clip than what we're out in the states that have this, out on the West Coast. And then there's the price side. On the price side, the states that have had this in place for 10 years or more are the highest grocery price states in the country, and I don't want to say for Oklahoma.
I agree with you. Dave Bond, thanks so much for coming in and talking with us about State Question 832. And thanks so much to you for joining us on Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. Coming up later on in the day, we're going to have Brian Kilmeade joining us at 8 o'clock, Eric Erickson at 11 o'clock, Dana Lash at 2 o'clock, then Lee Matthews with The Drive comes up at 4 o'clock. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. Look forward to seeing you bright and early, 7 o'clock on Monday morning. Thanks again for joining Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9.
KQOB in Oklahoma City. Freedom Talk and News.
I'm Bo Beecraft. Athletes with disabilities are competing in Edmonton.